Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined in studio by Daryl Slocum, Executive Director of the Sonora Area Foundation. Daryl, during the last segment, we talked a lot about the campfire that occurred in Paradise this past summer and ways that you're looking at fire prevention and so forth. You mentioned there is a grant that recently went to the Highway 108 Fire Safe Council. Do you feel that there is kind of some good momentum right now when it comes to fire prevention?
I really do. Out and about in the community, you hear a lot of people talking about the Paradise Fire and making those parallels and, you know, the observation that that could happen here. And then often, you know, what's being done. I've had meetings with Supervisor Sherry Brennan and with Tracy Riggs and the president out at the college. And I can tell you that there's not only conversations taking place, but I'm really seeing a lot of momentum on this fire prevention effort. Starting with the basic, what else can we do to secure our area, to minimize the impact of an event like this, and to flat out prevent it from occurring here? And from my standpoint, I just think there's some really good positive momentum going in that area right now.
That's good to hear. You know, a different topic. In recent years, the foundation has been hosting senior family forums. You know, can you tell us about what these were and are they going to continue?
They are. The Senior Family Forum is an informational event. It's we've held three of them now, and they're free to the public. And what we do is we bring in local experts to address topics of interest to seniors and their families. And what I mean by that is that the information is absolutely not limited to seniors. We have a lot of people that have not reached that milestone yet, but they are caring for seniors, or they will be at some point, and the information has been grouped around specific topic areas. The first two were finance and legal, and we had fantastic turnout from the community and just amazing presentation from our speakers. And so our next event is coming up on Wednesday, May the 15th, and we're actually introducing a new topic area, which is health matters. And in discussing this with our committee, there's just so many specific areas that can have an impact on seniors and their families. Things like hospice and Medicare and long-term planning. And then, of course, the various ailments that families can be dealing with. So that's going to be the focus of that event, and we are in the process of finalizing our speaker lineup now, but it will be on Wednesday, May 15th at Sierra Bible Church.
Does the foundation have various different health funds that you oversee as well?
We do. There are several people with amazing hearts for particular causes that have established funds with us. Dave and Tari Urquhart have had a fund called the Wings Fund for a number of years, which reimburses families that have children 18 and under that are undergoing medical treatment. It reimburses the families for non-medically related expenses like gas and lodging, et cetera, to get to appointments. We have an eye care fund where we work with some local eye doctors, and they provide services for those who otherwise may not be able to obtain service. We have a fund to support the Discover Life Clinic, free health clinic that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has put on the last couple of years. And our most recent fund is a fund called the Peaceful Journey Fund, which was established by Ron and Chris Hamilton to support their Parkinson's program, where they provide services to Parkinson's patients in the Tuolumne County area.
Yeah, I know Ron and Christian Hamilton were in the studio shortly before that. They were Newsmaker of the Day talking about that event. Was that a pretty successful event?
It really was. I went out to visit the event and was really thrilled with the turnout that they had, and talked to several people who were in attendance who learned so much about Parkinson's, programs available, treatment options, etc. So I really applaud Ron and Chris for stepping up and all the work they're doing to help support people in our community.
those funds that you just mentioned and how they give back to the community. You know, if somebody came into your office and wanted to set something up like that, is there quite a bit of work to do or legwork that they have to do to get that going?
It's really just a conversation to determine what it is precisely they want to do and how the foundation can help them with that. In many instances, individuals have not actually gone through the legal process to form a nonprofit organization. And so there are some things we can do with our charitable status in order to help facilitate the programs that they're trying to carry out in the area without them having to actually go through that process.
On a different topic, before long, it's going to be a high school graduation season, and it seems like last year was a record-breaking year for scholarships. Was that correct?
It's interesting you say that because we're already working on scholarships for this year, and you're absolutely correct. 2018 exceeded our largest year by far. We gave out over $570,000 in scholarships, and again, it was a big record year. So we're already working on it, but in addition to just working on the financial component and helping students with scholarship money, we're also looking at other ways that we can support families and students in from Tuolumne County. And we learned about a mentoring program that was being carried out down in Stanislaus County, brought it back to our County Office of Education here, and they formed a committee, initially Margie Bulkin and now Kathy Parker. And we put together a program called Six Cups to Success. Recruited mentors, trained them, went through all of the processes to qualify them to serve as a mentor. And that program is now up and running. And the last time I talked to Amy Emerald, who's the facilitator over at the County Schools Office, I think we had between 17 and 20 students that were participating in this year's program. And that's a really important component to add to aid students, many of whom do not have the benefit of having parents who have been to college, and so they are in that category of first-generation college student. And we're really hopeful and confident that this program is going to provide a lot of added benefit to our young people.
That's good to hear. Is it true you're in the early planning stages for a 30th anniversary as well?
We're absolutely looking forward to that. We were actually incorporated in October of 1989, but our first board meeting was in 1990. So 2020 is our official 30-year anniversary, but my plan is to start kicking things off at the end of this year, somewhere around that October anniversary date, and then we're going to bring the celebration all the way into 2020 because it's quite a milestone for our community foundation to have been providing support to our community for 30 years.
Yeah, a lot has changed over 30 years. Anything else that's keeping you busy these days as the executive director of the Snore Area Foundation?
Well, busy in a good way. We just continue to see more interest from the community coming and having conversations with us about how they can partner with us and how we can help them meet their charitable giving goals. It's kind of interesting, BJ, that once you've determined that you have a heart for charity, you know, and maybe some money has come available to you and now you want to do some good, in many ways, your work has just started because now you have to think about where you want to place that money. And again, I've said it before, charitably minded people, they want to maximize their donation. They want to do the most good that they can. And part of that is spending some time researching organizations, causes, making a determination on where best to place their dollars. And we provide that consultative component to help people make those decisions.
For anybody who wants more information about the foundation, what's the best way to reach out to you?
You're always welcome to stop by our office or call us. And there's a significant amount of information on our website. And the website address is sonora-area.org, sonora-area.org.
Do you have to make an appointment or can you just drop by?
You can just stop by or you're welcome to call and make an appointment. Either one works.
Well, Daryl, thank you so much for coming in and getting us up to speed on all things Snore Area Foundation.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Again, we thank our guest on this weekend's Motherload Views, Daryl Slocum, the executive director of the Sonora Area Foundation. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. And a reminder, if you miss Motherlode Views, you can always find past shows in the multimedia section of mymotherlode.com. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we'll turn our attention to county government. First, next week, we'll be joined by District 2 Tuolumne County Supervisor Ryan Campbell. He was victorious during the November election. He'll talk about getting acclimated to the new job and issues that he'll be focusing on during the next year. Again, he represents District 2. And then the following week, we'll be joined in studio by the new District 3 Supervisor, Anaya Kirk. He was the winner during the November election. He'll also talk about the district and issues that he is passionate about, as well as his background. So that's 2 weeks focused on county government coming up with some new voices on the Board of Supervisors. First, Ryan Campbell, and then Anaya Kirk. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week with more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.